It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Brad, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff for the Marriage Table.
Everyone, I want to just welcome everyone. This is another beautiful Monday night here in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Yes, and this is the Marriage Playbook. Yes, it is season 6, game 2, and it's with your truly your own Coach Fran on tonight. Again, you know Coach Eric was not too far away, but tonight Coach Fran is just going to talk to the women, talk to her sisters, talk to her daughters on tonight. The show on tonight is titled Ladies and Whores, okay? Ladies and Whores. And when this particular subject came up in our catalog, it was time for the show, and I think it's a very, very appropriate time for now that we should have this discussion. And oftentimes it's disconcerting that we don't deliver good information too harshly. So that was one of my concerns. But when I think of the times we are living in and the deliberate conditions of the minds of this present generation, I feel a need to give the shocking but honest truth that may wake people up out of their bondage, out of love, and out of concern. We are all under assault by wicked communications, imaginary, and untoward culture. With God's help, we will speak to the condition of our women, young women, older women, those who are saved, those who may not know who God is, who may not understand or identify the standards that are wholesome and pure and what those things are and what they are not. And so, listen, we're going to get into this on tonight. Again, this is the Marriage Playbook. I need you to get a sister. I need you to get a friend. I need you to get your teenage daughter. I need you to sit down. I need you to go ahead and get a pen and piece of paper. It's going to be a lot of information. I believe it's going to bless you on tonight. Listen, I need you to log in www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Ladies, I'm also looking for you to call in. Give a comment. Maybe you want to share a piece of your testimony. You can call at 646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. Listen, we're going to a commercial timeout, and we'll be right back to get ready to start the show.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon. This is Dr. Jo- This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Back again. Hello, yes. So now that we are back, I am so excited about the show. I'm excited about the show because there was a lot of information that was downloaded to me in prayer and in my study time for this show. And, I mean, I want to share this information so that not only my sisters and young women all over the world would be blessed, even if they don't hear this, someone who may need it may not hear it till 3 months from now, but my prayer and my desires that God would touch your hearts and that you would see that God really has an intentional plan for his daughters. Yes, that's what he called you. He called you his daughters. So I want to get into this because one of the first things that happened when I was praying and I was talking to the Lord about how to put this together. Again, welcome to the Marriage Playbook. The topic is ladies and whores. And so when I began to sit down and think about this topic, for one, I saw in the spirit a huge needle. And it was a huge needle, and it had a thick string attached to it. And it was through the eye of the needle and with a large hand in movement as if it was stitching something back together. Now, and I thought this was really amazing. And the word that came up, because I thought it was stitching, because normally we know about stitching and putting things together. But what the word came to me was mend. Mend is the correct word that was given. So the word mend was originally used as a religious term, meaning to free a person from sin, usually through repentance and good deeds. Mend has come to refer to fixing something that is broken. A mechanic might mend a broken car, or a seamstress might mend a torn dress. But God is coming today to mend the broken heart. Every woman who is listening to me today, I love this scripture from Psalms 34 and 18. The Lord is nigh unto them, he's close, that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrite, freely feeling or expressing remorse or penitence, affected by guilt. Now, no, the Lord don't want us to be feeling guilty by the things that we have done in life. No, he don't want us feeling guilty of our shortcomings. He don't want us to feel guilty about all of our mistakes and things we do know and things we don't know. He don't want us to feel guilty about that. He is not coming to condemn us. Not the feeling of being condemned or what may be going on even in our lives now presently, but realizing what is going on. I truly believe at times we as women don't even know what's going on. We don't know why we feel the way we feel. We don't understand why we're so emotional. We don't understand one minute why we're up and then the next minute we're down. We don't understand what's going on a lot of times, and I'm quite sure every woman that's listening me can agree, you know, and sometimes we're saying to ourselves, why can't I be more stable? Why can't I be more together? Why can't I begin to walk and move in some of the things that I want to do, such as my career, my dreams, my goals, all those things that may be in your heart? And I've been there. I've been there where I've been stuck in a situation or a place and could not move and didn't know how to get free. I didn't know how or what could happen that things would change in my life, you know? So the Spirit of God revealed to me that I am mending everyone who will receive what is being poured out on the airwaves tonight. So I'm telling you now, I want you to take in this information. And I'm telling you, it's going to bless you, and it's going to open up your mind, open up your heart to see things on a whole different perspective. Matter of fact, we need to see how God sees us, because oftentimes we don't see ourselves as being anything. And, of course, yeah, we may not be anything when it's coming, it compares to God, but because of Christ, because of God, God has a wonderful plan for every woman that walks this earth, you know? So I was shown that there is and have been a leakage and a blockage with women, and although they are both different and have different meanings, they both were caused by or from being wounded. Yes, being wounded. It either caused a blockage or a leakage, you know. But in Psalm 147:3, it says he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So I'm letting you know that the Lord is coming today to deal with any situation, any area that you may need help in today. Okay? So stick with me, because I want to go through this, and I don't want to rush. I'm a little excited because I love when God steps in to help people. I love when God, see, not me, I'm just the vessel behind it, but I think when God speaks, he is speaking for a direct change. He's speaking because he see that we have been calling on him. He see that we need help in these different areas. So some of the wounds we are that we have, and some of the wounds and things we have encountered in life, those areas are still leaking, you know? And some of those areas are leaking at a rapid pace. You know, and there are wounds that were even patched up by us that are still leaking. We just have a slow leak now. And we all know having a slow leak is only a delay of the tragic accident awaiting to happen. You know how it is with a vehicle. You know you got a slow leak, and after a while you just keep putting air in it, but eventually you're going to have to get a new tire. And because we have been tried to stop up the leak, patch up the leak, fix up the leak, fix up our wounds with all of our careers, raising our children, our grandchildren, social gatherings, education, business, doing excessive ministry, you know, trying to find love and acceptance from others, healing life changes, vacation getaways, being wonderful wives to our husbands. We fill a lot of positions, you know, the status quo, you know, what everybody consider, what is to be a blessing, what is to be rich, what is to be wealthy, and the list goes on, you know. And if you could think about it, you know, really think about it, you know, we have truly some other things that we can mention now that we have plugged in our lives just to get rid of the pain. But I want you to know the thing I found out, and I found this out a long time ago, and I'm still learning, that all these things that we do, they're wonderful and they're good. They really are. And they make us to be great women. But none of these things will ever stop the leak. It won't. None of these things will ever stop the leak. I remember one time I was working downtown in Center City, Philadelphia, as a master stylist, and I was at this very high-end salon. And as I was at this high-end salon, very confident in what I do, really love what I love, you know, what I'm doing with doing hair, doing haircuts for men, do all walks of life. I just love what I do. And this doctor came in, and I ended up getting him as a client to cut his hair. And so when he came in, he sat down, I prepped him, asked him how he wanted his hair cut. He let me know how he wanted to cut. It was fine. I was all ready to go. I'm always particular with my tools and everything being sharp and equipment being together, but I also know when my tools are sharp like that, I have to be very careful. And so I'm cutting his hair, and I went to cut around his ear, just to shape up around his ear. But because my equipment was so sharp, I nicked his ear. Now, when I nicked his ear, I'm telling you, it was a little teeny nick. It wasn't huge at all. But this man bled so profusely. Like I did a big gash. Like, I really almost took his ear off. And it wasn't. It was this little teeny gash. And I don't care what I did to wipe it off. I put something on it to stop it. I upheld it. And so he wasn't really concerned because he was a doctor with a little nick. And he explained to me, he said, you know, the air in certain areas of the body bleed more. And I don't care how big the cut is. He said that area of the earlobe bleeds a lot. And he said, no worries, don't worry about it. But I was really concerned because now he has this blue, pretty doctor shirt on, crisp. And guess what? Blood is spilling everywhere. I literally thought I was going to lose my job that day because I don't care how much I tried to cover that wound up. Right before he got ready to walk out the door, blood started leaking down on his shirt, and then it was obvious to everyone. And what happens is we go on with everyday life and we think everything is okay, but we're leaking and we're bleeding. And one of the things is you may not think people see you hurting, but people do. And oftentimes when we're in an area or in a stage where we're hurting, we don't want to take advice from anybody because we're hurting and we put ourselves in a secure blanket of not wanting to be hurt again. So then those who come along to assist us, then we won't receive the help because we're already hurt, you know. So even those who come in to help us, we say, oh, well, no, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm doing fine. It's going to be okay. You know? And so these wounds have to be healed. They really do. These wounds have to be healed in order for us to become successful. Listen to me. I want you to bear with me because I'm going somewhere with this. I just want to make a foundation so we can kind of be on one page and we can kind of cruise through this together, okay? All right, so then I thought about the blockage. You know, I thought about the story about the blockage. I remember one time I was, this was recently, we have like the individual smoothie that you make your smoothie, put everything in it. And I was rushing one day. I mean, really, really rushing. I had to be somewhere, but I didn't want to eat out, and I'm trying to stay, you know, with my regiment. And so I took the smoothie, took a piece of ice out the refrigerator, and I put it in my cup, but the ice was too big for the cup. And so, of course, you know what I did, right? Being all fast, went and got a huge metal spoon, and smashed the ice down, tried to smash it down in the cup, and then broke my cup, okay? And I was like, oh, my goodness, no, I didn't just break my cup from rushing, from being really frustrated because I already was running late, and I don't like to be late, but I had to hurry up and do this. But because of the blockage of the ice, I couldn't get my fruits in, I couldn't get my vegetables in the cup, you know? And so everybody already know I broke my cup from jamming the ice in there, and I did it violently. You know, I'm attacking this ice violently with this big metal spoon, you know. And that's what happens even with us in life. We get frustrated and we attack life. We attack people. We attack our situations because the blockage, you know, that thing that we allow to block even for things to come in and penetrate us. You know, so some of us as women, we have been leaking for a very long time, and some of us as women, we have put on this hard persona and close up our hearts, so now we don't want to receive anything. Nothing can get through, nothing can come out because it's a blockage, you know. And so on today, we want to talk about breaking those areas, breaking those things that will stop us from flowing, things in our life to stop flowing. We might be successful in businesses. We might be great careers, and we might have all these things that we're doing, but these things are only covering up the wound. And right now, we need to address the wound. We need to address what happened. We need to face, you know, so we can conquer and overcome these situations. And so, again, let me go back to the story. So I realized after I done broke my cup, all I had to do was run the cup over water, run the water over the ice, and that would have melted a little bit, and then I just could have poured the water out and went on to put my fruit and vegetables. Now, water seemed like a small solution, but would have solved my problem. It would have been really easy and not cause
one, because I have to buy, now I have to go out and buy a whole new blender. I got to buy a whole new blender and not just a cup because, you know, sometimes they're not compatible, so you can't just pick up the cup and go, you know. So now I have to go out and purchase a whole new thing, you know. So I come to find out that, you know, the only thing in life that can change a situation or the condition of mankind, womankind, childkind, humankind, I know some of those words don't make sense, you know, is the Word of God. You know, I find that the Word of God is the thing that will come in and it will cleanse us and change us and have us have a new and brighter perspective on what life is. And so I want to share with you some biblical standpoints. I want to also share with you some things that may have been blockages that's hindering us from seeing what God sees and how he sees us as ladies. So, look, we're going to take a commercial, and we're going to be right back. I'm telling you, we're going to get into the meat of this show. We're talking ladies and whores here tonight on the Marriage Playbook. Listen, don't forget, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. I need you to tune in. Call 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after this.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
Fifty-Seven South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709. Or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right, ladies, so we're back. And look, I want to start off, I wanted to give kind of all of that to kind of, you know, just share some things and some information with you guys. But we're going to start getting into our first topic, okay, our first segment. Our first segment tonight is Girls Going Wild. I want to read this, and then I'm going to get into this other information. Girls Going Wild. We have addictive exposure to hardcore sex, very young due accessibility, meaning our young people have access to any and everything now. We have hyper-sexualized media influence by young women, role models, goddess worship. It is the attitude of the new generation of women to be emboldened, brash, arrogant, sexually empowered, openly sluttish, sharp in tongue, independent, not possessing a moral compass, publicly naked, advertising sex while depending, demanding, reverence, raunchy. Come on, we've heard all these names. We're going to get into some more stuff. This attitude is socially accepted today. And what happened is we just open up and we embrace everything. And women present themselves as ice cream for freaks rather than a precious jewel, meaning we have now looked down on people who say that they're holding themselves for their husband, or in their faith they believe that they should just live holy or pure. They get ridiculed. I mean, they get bullied in school. And because all of these things is going on in the world, and because you're not doing the status quo, what everybody else is doing, you know, now we have our children and our young children believing that there's no other way to be than what everyone else is doing or what everybody else is being. You know, it's a matter of values and how one values themselves, and how your value is perceived by others due to the presentation given by the individual. Fornication, immorality, unlimited destruction. These things are just going on, and it's going rampant. And I remember when I looked at this this particular segment, I thought about, remember when the commercial, late night, and it would be the young ladies, they would show the college students partying and drinking and their clothes off, and, you know, everything they were doing, all type of acts were openly. Most of them were women. And then it was a thing where they weren't ashamed that they were being taped. And normally that stuff would come on late night, 2, 3 in the morning. But now we're seeing that particular activity out in the open, out in the broad. It's like no one is ashamed anymore. And everyone's perception was they are whores, and I would never do anything like that. But there are other sins we all have committed against God that make people perspective change in how they see us. It is because of the nature of sin which entered into the world is why we've done or do the things that we are doing, sitting as women of God, women, daughters of the King. You know, we must change our perspective when it comes to sin, meaning we need to stop weighing sin on a one higher on a level than another. When we deal with sin, just because it's sin, it will leave no room for anyone to make excuse for it. Like, we shouldn't make excuse for sin. You know, we really shouldn't make excuse for any type of sin. One of the scriptures that always come to me is because the wages of sin is death. And for all those I'm talking to, that you may not be in a relationship with Christ, you may not know who he is, but I guarantee you before the night is over, I would strongly suggest to let you know that he is here to embrace you. He is here to love on you. He is here to change your life around. And so when we talk about sin, we've all been born into this thing where we've done things against God. God knows I can raise both my hands. If it had not been for the grace of God, I would still be where I was. You know, and I'm just here to let you know that our God is a keeper. And I love Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I like this other term, and it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the cause of life. This is the NIV version. Then I looked up another version, which was the Living Bible. Above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything in your life. Influence is one of the biggest things that has really changed our society, changed the way we deal in our families, the way we deal with our children. I mean, the influence of this world has taken over. And the influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. We are so influenced by everything that's going on around us to the point that it has been really, really crazy. I remember my mom saying, don't be doing everything you see other people doing. You remember that? You remember when the mom would say, you know, watch who you hanging out with. You know, don't be hanging out with anybody with bad influence. The big one that I always remember was keep following after people. You hear me? I thought that was something. But after mama said those words, usually something bad came behind it. You know, it was a warning. It was something that she was trying to protect us from. And that's how God is. God is really trying to protect us. So then all the heartache, all the hurt, all the pain, we won't keep perpetuating those things over and over and over again. There are things we follow after without even understanding the effect that it brings on us. We don't see that it has changed our character. We don't see that it has messed with our development. And we surely don't see our behavior and how we treat others and how we do things. So I want to let you know, you do have an enemy. He is the adversary. And you must watch out for the enemy. He does not like you. He does not like me. He does not like us, they, because we are created in the image of God, which is Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. He's talking about mankind. You can't have woman without man, the man, and you can't have the man without the woman. The enemy tried to make us think we don't need men, women, you know, and the enemy tried to make men think they don't need women. But we cannot reproduce. We cannot be productive. We cannot do the thing that God created us to be without one another. So the enemy is considered to be cunning. He's considered to be subtle. And one of his names is he's a trickster. And the enemy will trick us to make us think that everything we're doing it on our own. We're doing it because we like to do it. You know, and it may start off like that, but when it gets to the point where now you want to stop and you can't, we don't identify that that's the enemy, you know. And this is why when it comes to very small things in the beginning, we know it's something that we should not do, then we shouldn't tamper with that. Why? Because once you're doing it this and it's a little bit, and in your mind you're saying, you know what, I know that was wrong. I don't want to do that no more. And then next thing you know, you can't help it. Now you're doing it again. And then you're saying, well, man, I know that's wrong, because the conscious, the way God has built us and developed us, you know, we know automatically that the thing we're doing is against God. We know that the thing that we're doing is against someone. We know that that thing is even against our own body. But the enemy would have us to make us feel that what we're doing, you know, is of our own and is good. But it's the enemy behind the scenes that's orchestrating this. So listen to Genesis 3 and 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? We all know the story when you go to Genesis, the third chapter, and how Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, and then she gave to her husband, he ate. But this is what I want to focus on. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Beguiled is to charm or enchant someone, sometimes in a deceptive way. So when you say, oh, I want a man, oh, he is so charming, oh, you better watch that. You know, you don't want a charming man. You want a man of God, or you want a man that's going to obey and have the principles of taking care of his family honestly, a man who's going to have integrity, a man, you understand? So you don't want, we think we want that charming because we want that feel good. We want somebody to make us feel good at the moment. And that's what it would be. When it said sometimes, that's how it would be. It'd be sometimes, and the next thing you know, you realize you have been deceived by that individual because of the charm or enchant. You know, that's another word we have to watch, enchant. In Colossians 21 and 20-23, it says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. I love God's word, and the reason why I'm giving you word, because you need to understand what's going on. you know, why these things are taking place, what happened, you know, why do I feel like this? But God's word will come and show you, okay, this is why this is going on. We might have touched something that we shouldn't have touched, you know. I remember even before myself, I started off, and everyone that knows my testimony, alcoholism and drug addiction, I didn't start off drinking a fifth of liquor a day, a case of beer a day. No, it started off with me tasting just a little bit, you know, and sipping every once in a while. And before you know it, it just spun out of control. When I looked up, I was drinking excessively in the bar 7 days a week, you know, not even realizing how did I even get to the place of where I was. And this is what we're saying. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in a situation because the enemy is the culprit behind it. You know, he's the culprit behind it. And he's very cunning. He's very deceiving. And he's a lot of things are very deceptive. He's very deceiving, and he will deceive you. And no, he does not have more power than God. God has all power in his hands. But the enemy, if you allow that door to be open in any way and you give him a foothold, especially in your time of weakness, especially in your time of hurting, especially in your time, you know, the enemy, you're hurting and you're going through stuff and emotional, the enemy will come up and then start trying to rush you to make a decision, rush you to do this, rush you to do that. No, get by yourself. Get into prayer before you make any decision, and you sit and you say, okay, God, I need you in this situation. I don't care whether you got yourself in it or not. God, I need you now in this particular situation. I don't want to move and do anything without you. I need you. Don't you know that if you call on God that he is going to answer? He is going to answer. You know, I want to read this too, this scripture here that really stuck out. Which things, this is Ephesians 4 and 27. It says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to satisfy of the flesh. This flesh will get us in trouble every time because we want this. The next thing you know, you're going to want something else. The next thing you know, you're going to want something else. And the Bible tells us that we should never, ever give place to the enemy. Now, I'm letting you know tonight, for those who do not know, you have an adversary, whether you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Because guess what? Because you were made in his image, the enemy does not like you because God created you. Okay? So he does not like you. Okay? He does not at all. He does not like you. So whether you believe or not, whether you serve the true and living God or not, you have an adversary that still does not like you. And if he can keep you where you are in bondage to not accepting or receiving or seeing who's behind all these or orchestrating all of these situations, that he can keep you where he can keep you in bondage. He can keep you stuck. He can keep you in a place where God never, ever intended for us to be. The thief cometh not. This is John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But we're talking, this is Jesus wrote this. And I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm giving you these scriptures. I hope you guys are writing it down. That was John 10 and 10. I want you to read these scriptures in your alone time. When you're sitting down and you're listening to this over again, I want you to listen to this. I want you to go and read this. If you don't have a Bible, listen, I'm going to give the number. If you need assistance, if you need to talk, if you need us to even wrap our arms around you and love on you, my sister, we are here to do that. So listen, we're going to get more into this, but we're getting ready to go to another commercial timeout. We are not finished. I'm telling you, it's so much information. I'm praying I can pour it out to you and that you would get this information so you can be aware of what is going on, because you are not doing this, but you have an adversary that's behind the scenes. And I'm going to enlighten you on tonight and who he is and how we as ladies can become ladies again and come out of those situations where the world seemed like being a whore is the end thing. It's the go-to thing. No, God called you a daughter, and I want to show you how. So we'll be right back after this commercial.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
So listen, ladies, we are back, and I wanna continue this about the first topic, and it says girls going wild. We as mothers, grandmothers, those, when I say, I don't want to say those of the old school, but those who have the knowledge and all of that good wisdom, all the teachings, all those things that we know that was imparted into us as children or as young adults or even young women, we need to make a commitment to our generation now. We need to, I understand that we may even be tired. Some of us been helping and trying to make a change, and because you don't see the change right away, you want to give up and you just don't want to do it anymore. But I guarantee you that young lady, when she gets 20 years old and in college, going to remember you. I guarantee you your grandchildren, your granddaughters, when you're long gone and you done went on to heaven, and please make heaven your home, you know, but when you have gone on, they're going to look back and those traditions, healthy traditions, and those things that you may pass down to your daughters are going to be very effective, your granddaughters, very effective to continue to go on. And that's how things are to be changed. But it was such a gap where we stopped caring for one another. We as women, we have hurt one another. We have been hurt by other people. And so what we did is we shut up, and the thing that was in us that is such an awesome gift as women to give to other women, we just turn our heads and say, oh, no, I'm not doing that. you know, oh, no, I'm not helping anyone because we've been abused, because people have used us, because people have publicly put our personal information out on social media or and throughout the family, and people have lied on us. People have, I mean, we have been through numerous things, but what I'm saying is we are in a time where what you have is of value. And we're going to overcome some stuff tonight. That valuable thing that's within you can come forth, and that you'll have the zeal, you'll have not only the patience and the love, but you'll have the passion to reach back and start helping these young women. We really have to start talking to our daughters. We really do. So, look, we're going to go into the next segment. And the next segment is the appearance of evil intent, what it looks like. Now, I told you before, the enemy is behind all of this, okay? And we think being socially accepted will take away our pain. We think being socially accepted is going to be the thing that can cover up our hurts or our disappointments. We think being socially accepted by everything the world has to offer us is the thing that's going to make our lives work, you know. And so, again, what I was saying before, how we begin to start changing in our character, when we start this hurt, this pain, we change in our character behind some type of hurt, disappointment, our language change, and then the places we go, you know, which means now we find even the clothes to fit the atmosphere we're starting to dwell in. Okay, let me say that again. We begin to find attire, clothes, and wardrobe in the atmosphere we dwell in. So now your way you dress start changing, the attitude start changing. All of this is part of your character. And you don't understand the evil intent behind what's going on. And then what happens is when someone say, oh, why are you dressed like that? We get highly offended. And we'll say it out of, oh, I'm not a whore, but I, you know. But then people, no one ever said it, but because it's your conscience, because you know you didn't used to dress like that. You didn't used to present yourself like that. You know, and then someone might get smart to you and say, oh, yeah, well, you dress like one, you know. And then what we do is we make excuses and we say, oh, this fashion is in style, you know. No, every style that comes out may not be appropriate for someone who call themselves a daughter or call themselves a mother or a grandmother. These are things we used to be conscious about. I'm not talking about have your skirt all the way down to your ankle and, you know, have long-sleeve shirts on is 90 degrees weather. But I'm saying everything now is sexualized. Everything is openly just out. Clothing that accentuates a woman's shape, even the inner details of a woman's privates, the way makeup is worn today, the way the nails are painted. I mean, look at these things, the piercings, the hooker shoes, sends the message of seduction, you know. And a lot of people can identify when it's been a lot of trainings and teachings on the Jezebel spirit. Overt or open public displays of intimacy, straight and lesbian. Again, sin is sin. So we're not going to level, say, oh, this sin is higher than that sin. Sin is sin, and God doesn't like any type of sin, any form of sin. So if we're going to talk about any area of any type of sexuality, we need to talk about all of it and how God is not pleased with any of it, okay? So loud public conversations. I don't care where you're at, you always seeing hearing somebody's conversation, and not that it's just a conversation like you're going to the store, but it's about sex. I have 12- and 13-year-old young women talking about having sexual intercourse with men on the bus. Boastful, pride, rebellious, ignorant, and inexperienced in social matters. Like we hear these young women and even some older women, we hear them talk about all these sexual things and what they know how to do with sex and with their bodies and everything, but no one know how to cook. No one knows how to clean. No one knows how to go food shopping. They don't know how to budget. You know, they don't know how to even boil a pot of rice. And it was a time that mothers, you know, had their daughters in the kitchen teaching them how to cook, teaching them how to sew your shirt, you know, that don't concern yourself about not having finances because you knew how to sew and make a dress. You knew how to sew and make a shirt, you know. And it's like we don't have those things anymore going on. Ignorant and inexperienced of social matters, I said that. You know, we don't know how to talk to one another. Everything is loud. Everything is an argument. And sometimes I could be walking down the street or be out somewhere, and you think a fight get ready to break out, so you turn your head, and it's just young women or older women, women in general, just talking and screaming at each other. And they're having a conversation. But it's in the manner of what is done. All of these reality TV shows, okay, let me just come to warn you, they are not reality. We have made them our reality, but these shows are not reality. And although we say, oh, I'm just watching this because I want this to entertain me, this is part of entertainment, guess what? These things are being birthed in your spirit, and these are the things that are changing your character and your behavior, and it's changing even also how you dress. Because now we want to look like the woman on the reality show. You know, we want to buy $3,000 weave just so people can see our hair is looking good, but we don't take concern that the baby might need shoes the next day. We don't take concern that something in the house might break down and I got to purchase something. And these are things that we have not passed on the responsibility of even being a mom, or even if you're a young mom and you're a single mom, we haven't passed it on to the next generation so even a single mom could survive today. I mean, these are the things that's going on. These women attract the wrong type of men. And these men are dishonorable, but they're dishonorable because we may carry ourselves in a dishonorable way. Because 9 times out of 10, we're going to attract who we are. We are. We're going to attract who we are. So I want to get into some of these languages, okay? I want to get into some of the things we have been calling ourselves, some of the things we have been saying. Openly we'll say it. We speak these things over our daughters' lives. We have spoke these things over our granddaughter lives. And we have found these things to be cute. You know, we're teaching our young women how to twerk. We're teaching them how to shake it and drop it like it's hot. And, you know, we're showing them, oh, and we're going out and we're purchasing the same type of adult clothes that we will purchase for ourselves, we purchase those for young women and for our daughters, you know. And we forget that we have a high rate of predators who love children porn, who have a sickness, which is sin. They have a sickness when it comes to watching little children. So we forget about that. We forget that our children are outside playing, and it may be a man sitting on the porch watching her jump rope in this halter top that we put on, tight shorts that we done put on, and these little 2-inch heels on this 10-year-old. And we're dressing them up and dialing them up, and we're giving them all of the anything they want, anything they desire, anything they ask for. We are allowing them to dress like this. I see you in the queue. We thank you for joining in on the Marriage Playbook. Listen, all you have to do is press 1, and we will answer any question or comment. But we thank you for tuning in here on the Marriage Playbook. And so we allow these things. Then when someone's daughter gets snatched, or someone gets raped, or someone is getting molested in the home, we don't take account of these things until after it's over. But these are things that we really need to consider now. We really do. I'm not saying be all spooked out and oh, no, you can't go over there, and oh, no, you can't go over there. But I'm talking about be conscious of the things that we are allowing to infiltrate our homes, our televisions, you know, the children's cell phones, these games, everything that we have allowed to infiltrate our homes. And listen, I am not under no circumstances judging you. Because let me tell you something. I was a single mother, and I know what it's like to work 2 and 3 jobs. I know what it's like to go to school to try to finish and get my high school diploma because I dropped out of school in 11th grade. I know what it's like to try to take care of your children the best way you know how. So when you come in, you're too tired. So, you know, as long as they got the game and they're not bothering you for a minute, listen, okay? But see, this is where the sacrifice is coming in. You know, we have to sacrifice as parents, as mothers, as women, and really start instilling the things in our children that we need to. So listen to this. You know, it's always about the perception of what someone else sees. Now, I'm not saying for someone call you something and then you know that that's not who you are. I'm talking about the languages that we have picked up and we are calling ourselves. We are calling each other. We allow other people to call us, you know. So these are some of the words, and I'm going to break down some of these words because what we don't do is we don't look at the origin behind these words. We just come up with, oh, that's cute, oh, that's good, and then we begin to pass it on and pass it on and pass it on, and before you know it, now it's the slang word, it's the new thing that's in. So I want you to watch some of these words I'm about to tell you. Empower, kings, goddess, young goddess, gods, young gods, we call young men young gods, sexy, I am a sex symbol, I'm that girl, ratchet, lit, turn it up, turning it up, friends with benefits, sisterhood, I mean the list goes on and on. And before you know it, other things creep in real subtly, like I told you with the enemy, and change is taking place because of the things we are calling each other, ourselves, and what we are allowing people to call us. Okay? So remember that. Remember that. You know, because the Bible lets me know in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what's going on is we love the fact that people are calling us these names, but we don't understand the origin. We don't understand where it's coming from. We don't understand that these things are coming from a dark place. And because we have opened up the gateway to allow this stuff to come in, we don't see the subtle changes in not only our homes, because what's going on in our homes is what we're seeing that's the manifestation of what's going on in our communities and what's going on with all these killings, these shootings. We don't see the culprit that's behind this, and it's the enemy. And so I want to talk about this word empower right quick. Empower, women, empowerment. Why are we empowering women? Where is the power coming from? Who are we empowering? Meaning, who are we creating other women to be who they are? If we are not teaching our women, young ladies, women of all walks of life, the significance of becoming a daughter of the kingdom, what is this power we are talking about? We have caused a lot of hiccups because we are trying to empower women without the one who holds all power. We may say he is the one, you know, but a lot of times we don't display that this power that we have is coming from God. We really don't. You know, we don't realize that, listen, all of our giftings, all of the things that has been placed in us from the foundation of the world, you know, all the things that God has predestined in our lives. And what happened is because of the hurt, because of the pain, we start these empowerment groups out of anger and out of pain, and then we're not empowering them. Because let me explain something to you. I understand empowering women to have businesses, women empowering them to what? To be successful, be great models. I mean, all these things are good, but I said it in the beginning. You know, how are we empowering them? Are we causing more damage than we are being effective in our empowerment movements? You know? And what happens is now we start feeling like we're the ones empowering people when we don't keep the or recognize and keep the focus that God is the one who empowered us for us to empower others. I hope someone's getting this, because we jump on every movement, every next movement. Now everybody has an empowerment group. But you as a woman, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being a part of any of these groups, but what I am saying is if you don't know the origin behind it, why they started it, and detect if this is something you should even have a part of your life, then I would strongly, strongly suggest that you do not be a part of it, okay? Because what happened is we start making and serving other gods. We start making other people gods. And this is what, listen to me, this is what we do in our pain. This is what we do in our hurt. This is what we do when we're angry, we're mad, we're frustrated. You know, we're bitter, you know. We start joining things and we start attaching to things that actually, that's what the design of the enemy from the door, to allow us to attach to something else that will harm us even the more. Exodus 20:3-5. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I said, God is so awesome. He knows everything, because now you have people that's worshiping this god of the water. So he knew what he was talking about. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I hear people say it all the time, oh, I don't hate God. I love God. I love the Lord, you know. But in John 14:15, the word says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We're talking about the things, the playbook. We call it the playbook here on the Marriage Playbook. The playbook that God has given us for all mankind to live. And guess what? To bless our lives, and that we would be fruitful as children and people of the world. You know? So why do we feel like we need to replace what God has already put in place, instead of just following what he has commanded? And that's what, we all have done that. Now I'm raising all, both hands, feet. We all have done that. So we prefer to say things like, what goes around comes around, instead of saying, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Mm-hmm. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Pick things from the Bible, and we dress it up, and we make it sound all good, and then we put it out there, you know, instead of leaving the Word of God like it is, so we can be empowered from the Word of God and that our lives can be changed. Now, let's go back to this word empowerment. You cannot just be willing to change an individual's life physically or naturally without exposing them to who all power belongs to. Again, I said we offer trainings, business idea, health, wellness, fitness tips, and more. All of that is wonderful, but we never introduce them to the one who empowered us. You know, I talked about the gifts being wonderful. I talked about even these things are creating and making us who we are. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to enjoy the pleasures of life. He really, really does. You know, but they're given, you know, we take that and we begin now to take self-glory and gratification that we're empowering someone. And let me tell you, it's a very dangerous place to be in when you're standing between an individual and God. That stops them from having an encounter with God. You know, I love Psalms 1. You know, when Psalms 1 tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. 1 and 2. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Now, I brought that up because, let me do this first. I want to do this next scripture, 1 Peter 5 and 11. I hope you're writing these things down. 1 Peter 5 and 11, for all power belongs to God, now and forever. Amen. So even the ability, I love when Coach Eric preached this one time, we perceive the ability to be our own. We perceive the ability that God has given us to be our own. So if we are empowering anybody, we got to acknowledge the one who empowered us at all times. At all times, you know, at all times we have to say, Lord, I thank you because you have gifted me to be able to help people. You have gifted me to be a blessing to people. You have gifted me to do the things that I am doing. You know, and most of all, God, through this, let people see you, you know. So if we're going to empower our communities, if we're going to empower our children and our families and be encouragement to society, never forget that that power has been given to us by God Almighty. Just remember that, please, because when you do it in a perspective of knowing that the power belongs to God, not only will it be effective, you will make people want to turn and direct themselves to God. So it's important. It really is important. And so that's one of the words. These are things that the Lord, these are words, I'm telling you, that I would have never even thought of, but these words, again, like I said, we say them all the time. I hear people saying, oh, yeah, that's my shorty, that's my dog, that's my women fist bumping, young women fist bumping and pounding. And, you know, we have taken over from being feminine to taking on a masculine behavior. And then because we're bitter and we're mad of maybe a bad relationship, a bad divorce, we don't correct our young daughters. Because I don't care where we may be in a position or a situation, we should always be loving enough to teach our daughters the right way and how to be ladies. We really should. So I'm going into another word. Look, we're going to take a commercial timeout. I'm going to come back, and we're going to get into some more of these words, and we're going to start talking about the origin behind these words and things that we call each other, call ourselves, and call our sons and daughters and children. So we'll be back. We're going to take a commercial.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Okay, so let's continue on with these words. This word I've been hearing a lot lately, and this is a word that I had to study and look up. This word that we call queens. We've been saying, oh, you a queen, my queen sister, this is my queen sister. And I understand, again, like I said, we say things without understanding the origin behind it, and that these words sometimes often come from a dark place, and because we're speaking them over our lives, we don't know why or how come, let's say per se, the whorish manner of living or lifestyle or behavior. You know, we talked about being ladies, but I want to talk about how come or how we're not identifying very subtly how this word has come about. It's an ancient word. Whore is nothing. I looked it up, and, I mean, they've been saying it from the time of Greek and Greece and Italy. And, I mean, I did a whole study on how this is a word and a thing that has been going on. And normally it was directed to women who would sell their body, prostitution. Okay, so when I did the study, but as I dug into it more, it showed that even now we do a different kind of prostitution and whoring now, because we'll hook up with a man, and as long as he pay my bills and buy my washer, my dryer, oh, come on, I'm talking about myself, you know, in a relationship where I didn't care how he was treating me as long as he took care of things, you know, then that's prostitution. You know, we don't call it prostitution, but that's what it is. When you only hook up with somebody so they can pay you and pay your bills, you know, and pay your car note and do these things for you, you know, we got to see, and that's what I'm saying, subtle, because it changed how it's being done. It doesn't change the origin of it, you know. They're still being that, you know, I'm giving you sex and now you're doing a favor for me, you know. And this is, it's going on. It has been going on for years and years and years, you know. But don't let someone call us a whore. We get extremely and highly offended, you know. But we won't take the time out to look at our lives and say, you know what, I really need to get that area together, you know. Not just for everybody else, but for me, because in the long run, it's keeping you in bondage and hurting you and stopping you from progressing and being the woman that you, I know potentially, that God wants all of us to be. So let's look at this word queen. Listen to this. The female ruler of an independent state. These are words we got to watch out. Independent, you know, ruler. Especially one who inherits the position by right of birth. Now, we already know that. We know Queen Elizabeth. We understand that. We understand kingdom. We understand all of that, okay? And it's a woman. But watch this. Behave in an unpleasant and superior way towards everybody. We're talking about the behavior, man. We talked about the behavior. Your attitude change, your behavior change. We're not talking about being confident when somebody call you a queen. I'm talking about somebody will call you a queen. Now you're unpleasant to everybody. You're superior over everybody. You talk down to everybody. You walk with this, you know, not with the authority and power that God wants his daughters and expect his daughters to have, but now it's in a bad place, you know, to behave in an imperious or pretentious manner, usually following it, you know. And this is what I'm saying. We call each other these words, and I'm saying this person is changing. You know why? Because we don't understand the origin behind this stuff. You know, and this is against what God is calling his daughters to be. You know, why are we trying to be everything other than what God is calling us? And why is our desire to do all these things, you know, that God has not commanded us to do? You know,
And I just really, really, when I think about this and even all the things I went through, and I'm saying, wow, I really spoke a lot of damnation over my life. I want to read Peter, 1 Peter 2 and 9. You know, this is what God calls us. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Yes, he wants us to be different. Yes, he wants us to have our own unique personality. Yes, he does, you know. But there are boundaries through the word of God of things that we should not do and things we should not call ourselves. Because as we speak in it, a lot of times we're speaking death over our lives and not life. So watch this, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, God is still trying to call some of us, but if we keep calling ourselves other things that have dark places attached, even do the study on queens. Matter of fact, read that story about queen in the Bible. Queen, the queen in the Bible. Oh, man, I should have wrote her name down. But she was the queen. He went to send for her because he wanted to show her off. Watch this, Vashti. He wanted to show Vashti off to everyone, right? But Vashti was like, you know, I'm not going. See, after a while, you're going to have that man that want to show you off, and that's all he want to do. And you're going to get tired of that. I want you to read that story about Vashti. I want you to study about queens. Study the origin and all these different things and get into that. And that's going to be good. That's going to be a good study. That's why I want everyone to get your pens and paper, because I knew I couldn't be on this show long to be able to break a whole lot of things down. But let me read Isaiah 14, 12, and 14. This, we're talking about Lucifer. You know, because this is what queens do, queens that rulers. We got to watch these words, you know, because next thing you know, we want to begin to start taking the place of position that God has not allowed us or called us to. Now, look at this. This is Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Listen, he started getting arrogant, talking about, I will ascend above the highs of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is why we got to be careful of these things that we're saying. We already talked about him being a jealous God. Let's go into another word. This word, sexy. Everybody want to be sexy. Everybody want to be sexy. Everybody want to be sensual, you know, attractive or exciting. This is what the word sexy means. Watch this. Seductive, alluring, sensual, slinky, provocative, tempting, voluptuous, luscious, lush, hot, bettable, bootylicious. Remember that word back in the, what, 90s? Bootylicious. X-rated, naughty, pornographic. This is why now the selfies is out, you know, got the selfies and the breasts and everything, because now it's, everything is pornographic. Not taking a photo, but I want to show off my figure. I want to show people how sexy I am. Look at this. Porno, rude, slick, lustful. I'm talking about this word here and how we pick these words up and we start saying, oh, this is what I want to be. And we don't realize that these things are changing our character. It's changing who we supposed to be. It's changing us from being ladies. And then it got us looking like we're whores, but it's the things that we're speaking over our own life. And then because we're speaking it, it's forming, and it's transforming us. Now watch this. Colossians 3 and 5. This is another scripture. You can write this down. And it says,
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Didn't I just read that scripture about have no graven images, have no other gods before him? I'm telling you, I'm just trying to tell you about these words and tune everything and put everything together for you so you can have a different perspective. You know, when somebody walk up to you and call you sexy, say, no, this is my name, you know. Say your name, you know. No, I'm a lady. Please don't call me that. And you can be polite. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be rude. But stop, you know, wanting to be these things and calling ourselves these names, because it's not really good origin behind this stuff. But we say it because it's the popular thing that's going on now. Now look at 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We trying to figure out, okay, I don't want to have sex with this man. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do this. But we trying to figure out why we can't, you know, because now you got a war going on. You got a war going on in your spirit. Come on, let's move on. Matter of fact, let me finish up this sexy word, okay? Attractive. Well, let's say attractive, and that's one of the words, but this came under sexy, which made me pull this word out. Because some people say, oh, I just want to be attractive. There's nothing wrong with that. And it isn't. But watch this. What's the intent behind it? You know, what's the intent? What's the motive? But watch this. Attractive of a thing, pleasing or appealing to the senses of a person, appealing to look at, sexual, alluring, proposing, fetching, which a lot of times Coach Eric called it fishing, captivating, watch this word, bewitching, come on, don't forget this word again, beguiling. Remember when I told you that the enemy, in the beginning, remember he beguiled Eve? Beguiling, enchanting, think of that word again, enchantations, casting spells, enticing, seductive, of a thing, having beneficial qualities or features that induce someone to accept what is being offered, inviting and tempting. So this is what I'm talking about. This word sexy is not a good word. You know, this word sexy is not good. This is not a good word for any woman. For any woman. For any woman, because it will begin to change your character and who you are. Come on, I got some more words. Let me just, because I want to just, you know, I'm hoping that this is helping someone, you know. I really, really hope this is helping someone. And a lot of times, again, like I said previously, we pick up these things in anger and hurt, and we try to attach to something. I know the main thing is always when we get hurt, you know what? I need to go do something for myself. And the first thing we do is go buy some clothes. But if you notice when you go buy something to wear, it's not the same outfit you would have bought before you had gotten hurt. Think about that. I know I didn't. I was trying to be seen. I want everybody to see my body, see my figure, see my shape. And I'm not saying you cannot look nice. I'm not saying, because nobody loves sharp clothes more than I do. You know, no one loves a pair of shoes more than I do. You know, but I do also know that when I come into the house of God, I don't want to, you know, think about it. If my bishop came in the church, if my sisters come in the church, legs greased up, 6-inch heels, skirt all the way to the knee, over the knees, breast pushed up, you know, the first thing you would say is, I know this is good and well, not somebody that's getting ready to teach me anything. And that's the thing we got to consider, people's perception, not we trying to look all good and we trying to look like something. What are you sending out to everybody else? What is this? What are you sending? You know, what is the message that we are telling our young women? You know, and one of the biggest messages is telling them, oh, be sexy. It's all right to be sexy. You know, I saw a young lady, she didn't look, she was more than 5 years old, and she had on lipstick. I remember our granddaughter coming to our house with lipstick on. Her grandfather grabbed her very, very carefully and told her, say, you are beautiful and you don't need lipstick on. See, that's another thing. We don't know how to correct people and to love them without beating them down. And I know people have beat us down, but we got to find a better way, and that's really displaying God's love to get folks to change the mindset of how they see things. So he just grabbed and said, listen to me, you are beautiful, and you don't need lipstick on. She had her pocketbook with a lipstick and a polish, and I know we all say, oh, that's cute, that's what little girls do. But at 5 years old, I had a baby doll. At 5 years old, I had a book. I was learning to jump rope, you know. I was doing other things other than makeup, you know. Some things are just really carried away, and then when they get 13 and 14 and 15 and out of control, we can't control them. Now we upset because now they're disrespecting us, but all they saw was disrespect all their lives. So come on, let me get back into this word, because it's gonna really bless. I hope this is blessing you, because this study really blessed me. Now watch this. Here's another word. Goddess. This is another word we use. Oh girl, you looking like a goddess. Listen to this. A female deity. A woman who is adored, especially for her beauty. So this is why we do this, because now we're trying to adore, have people adore us, you know. Watch this, and listen, you may not, but this study is being put out there, so then it would be to the individual to say, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. I've been doing that. I've seen that. Oh, my goodness, you know, because this is truly here to help. So God is a female deity, a woman who is adored especially for her beauty, a female god. So we shouldn't be calling ourselves goddesses. Listen to this, a woman whose great charm or beauty arouses adoration. Always want to be praised. Always want somebody to acknowledge them. And if don't nobody acknowledge you, you know, we're mad, we're upset, we're throwing tantrums and fits. You know, and then we, you know, go off on people. You know, we become these divas. That's the word. You know, we become these divas. Watch this. Examples, a goddess of ancient Greece, the actress who is already a goddess in her own country or is finally getting recognition. This is why now if don't somebody recognize or recognize us and we walk in, whether it's the house of God or a store or wherever we might be, now we do this thing with our body and all these movements because we're trying to get everybody's attention. You know, all eyes on me. Eyes got to, but guess what? You know? And all of this came probably someone beat us down or we wasn't accepted or we were told what we weren't going to be for so many years. And, I mean, we've been through a lot. Listen, I'm not going to dismiss that we've been through a lot, you know, but now is the time for us to acknowledge and recognize these things that has been hindering us. It's the things we're speaking. Look at this. Mythological female figure relating to based on or apparent in myths or mythology. We start picking up all these things. Look. Astrology, the study of the movements and relative positions of celestial bodies interrupted as having an influence on human affairs and the natural world, horoscopes. You know, what my zodiac sign is, and yeah, my zodiac sign is this. Oh, we putting it all down for the Leos, you know. We putting it all down for this. We putting it, you know, and we don't realize that these things are the things that have attached to our lives. And again, not necessarily we may be of dealing in or becoming whores, but we have with our behaviors. I couldn't find that scripture that talked about whoring after other gods. But I read that. And You know, when we begin to start going after all these other things, it really does start transforming us. Now, look at this word, because I had to ask somebody about this word, then I had to look it up. One of my daughters had to ask, so what is a thought? What is a thought? And now this is a word that's in the dictionary, you know? And we've seen people, you know, call women this. I mean, I've heard this. I've even heard saints, women, say this. And I'm saying, why is they saying, what is that? So I had to look that up to address women who hit on them. So women who hit on men, women who go after men, women who expose themselves to men, they call them thots. I didn't know that. And that means a harlot. And we all know that that's in the Bible, or a whore. Watch this. Though it's not a word likely to be added to the Oxford English Dictionary anytime soon, that typically means a woman who enjoys having sex and her rights to be, her rights to her own body. That means I could do whatever I want to do in this body. I can go wherever I want to go in this body. I can say whatever I want to say in this body, you know. But we need to understand that we cannot do any and everything. She turned me off?
Yes, it's
but why she didn't give me the hour? Did you text her?
Nah, she said she had to go someplace or something.
Well, why she didn't give me an hour?